This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawira Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann and I am joined today by Mawira Karatai. Kia ora, Mawira.
Kia ora, Sam. How's it going?
It's going very well indeed. It is the first week of the school term. You'll be pleased to have gotten rid of your offspring.
Yep, I have. Well, kind of, because he was away for almost all the holidays, and so I didn't really get to spend a lot of time with him, and now he's gone back to school, so now I get to spend no time with him.
So who are we introducing today?
Today it is my great pleasure to introduce the aforementioned offspring, my son Jack Karatai Barrett. Kia ora, Jack. Welcome.
Hello.
You're back at school, Jack?
I am. It's amazing.
Did you get a hero's welcome?
Heroes welcome. Yeah, I did. Something like that. All the kids in my school, definitely. But like, only half of my teachers know about it, which is a bit interesting. Whereas, like, every single one of my mates, when I showed up, they were like, oh my gosh, Jack, you're the famous guy. And it's just like, I'm a celebrity and stuff. Better show away the paparazzi.
For those people that haven't been following Jack, what has Jack been doing for the school holidays?
So Jack has been riding his bike to Wellington to bring a letter to Parliament to say yes to the Māori wards.
Wow. And just to be clear, you don't live in the suburbs of Wellington?
Oh, nah, then it would have been a pretty good ride, but nah, I live in Whakatane. It's like 1,000 kilometres away with my route that I took.
So we'll talk about the Māori wards. How did you come up with the idea of cycling all that way? You did a walk first. Was that last holidays?
Yeah, so I'll start off from 2020. So back in 2020, me and a group of people, including mum and a few of their mates, went down to Parliament with a petition to implement the Māori wards. And fast forward 5 years later, Christopher Luxon's come along and he said, oh, yeah, no, nah, we're not having it. And I'm saying, well, yeah, we are. And that's well, I did my walk to Tauranga, and then I biked home, so that's about 100k or so. So I did that because I needed, like, a test ride to figure out what it would be like to ride long distance and, like, walk long distance. And I came to the conclusion after walking to Tauranga in 2 days that that is the most horrible idea of my entire life. I showed up, and my feet were, like, my blisters were popping as I walked, and, like, I took off my socks and everyone was like, those are the worst blisters I've seen in my life. And I said, oh, yeah, pretty easy ones, I have to say. But no. And then I got to the place and I gave like a little speech. And then I went to Wellington. Oh, no, I didn't go to Wellington, sorry. I came up with the idea that I was going to bike to Wellington. And I told mum and she's like, oh, okay, that's cool. Wait, what? And then I like came up with all my ideas and I had to map everything out and sort my things out on my own. I told mum not to really be a part of it. Of course, she did all the like fancy reaching out to people and stuff on all the Facebook pages, which I don't really know how to do much of. and yeah, met up with a few people and we sorted out the map and I started my ride. It was pretty easy too. Like, definitely the first day, the second day, and I think the seventh day were the hardest ones. Because my first day, I had like the most weight. Because we were carrying these heavy-ass panniers on my bikes. And I rode with people on the first day. So I had these heavy-ass bags and was like the most slow, like barely making it along the track sort of experience ever. And the problem is, on the first day, we went on these two roads. The first one was Porcaroa and the second one was Naumotu. Naumotu Road has a climb that takes you an hour and a half on a bike. So I don't really like that very much, but the little bits of downhill made it worth it. But yeah, all the rest of the ride was pretty easy.
So you didn't go in a straight line?
Oh, no, I wish I could, but Mum told me I'm not allowed to. She said I'm not allowed to ride down the state highways that are below two. And so I ended up riding ones like State Highway 54, which I didn't even know existed. Like, well, the numbers go that high, geez. Anyway, and yeah, it was pretty good. I was on State Highway 2 for a little bit coming out of Palmerston North. But yeah, it was about 1,000 kilometers over 12 days. It was going to be like 894, but I kept on getting lost. As the track is not as easy as it looks on Google Maps when your Google Maps doesn't have any Wi-Fi to keep it going. So I had to figure out that one the hard day on my second day when I had no one with me. And yeah, I got like lost about 20 kilometers up a farm road before I realized, hey, that doesn't look like the turnoff I'm supposed to be at. And a guy's like, oh, yeah, bro, you're on your way to Taupo. I said, oh, okay, better go back the way I came. That ended up being about 120 kilometer day. So that was like one of my longest ones. And yeah.
Let's take the first of your music choices. Yep. We're having Lynyrd Skynyrd, Simple Man. Why this one?
Oh, I just like, I've always known the song. Like, I'm really into dad music sort of thing. I've always known the song, and then I saw it, like, my mate was playing it the other day. It was just, like, so good, and I thought, oh, I might just have to listen to this on my bike ride, because it's, like, a nice sort of cruising ride song. So I turned it on when I was riding. I have this big-ass playlist, and I'm only putting in songs that I listen to for my three. But this one, it's just, like, riding along, and it's so cool, and it feels like I'm riding a Harley Davidson down Route 55 or whatever it is in the US. I'm like cruising along and I see some tumbleweeds to my left and I'm just like in the moment, got big sunglasses on.
We'll be right back.
Skipped over the Maori Wards. Give me Maori Wards 101.
All right, so basically, Maori Wards, from my point of view, they're a thing so that you can have fair representation in the community and the government with Maori representation. And the reason I want Maori Wards is because you don't really get some of the values that Māori people have in a lot of places where they're needed, like especially in the really small communities. If you're just going to like have a guy that's running the whole place and he's used to running a big town or like a city show up and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to change this and this and that without talking to anyone sort of thing. It's like not really thinking and having like anything to do with the people that live there. Yeah.
And you were part of the protests, I think they were, in 2020.
Yep.
And it held much promise then. Have you been following it? I mean, you're too young to vote, obviously. Well, not obviously. You are too young to vote. So why is someone that's too young to vote so keenly engaged in this process?
Well, because in 2020, I was like first learning about it. And then when Christopher Luxon and the coalition government said that they're getting rid of them, it kind of was just like a heartbreak sort of thing, you know? Like something that I know so many people had worked so hard for. And I know back then I just like jumped on a plane and I just like came along, did this thing, handed over the petition. And yeah, kind of just like stuck a bit weird with me. I just didn't want it to happen after all that hard work was put through just for it to be like banished, you know?
you could have quite easily not done anything. You could have more easily put up a Facebook post, although you say you don't use Facebook much.
Yes.
But you could have quite easily not done a lot. Mm. And nobody would have complained. But, like, even the walking to Tauranga and then biking to Wellington.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Why? So basically, my thinking is do wacky and crazy stuff that gets people's attention, and then, like, quickly, as soon as you've got their attention, you suddenly, like, go, Moldy Woods! And, like, that, you, like, have to get them right locked in onto that rather than the random kid that just rode his bike to Wellington for some reason.
You certainly did that. You got interviewed all over the show.
I did, yeah. It was cool. I was riding in from the sushi shop in Wellington at the train station, and I, like, started seeing all these cameras everywhere, and I was like, oh, there must be an event happening or something. I saw they all pointed at me, so I was, like, looking behind me, like, who are they filming? I thought someone famous had started riding with me or something. It turns out they were filming me. Guess you could say I'm pretty famous, but nah. I got, like, ran after by all these fancy cameras all the way up to the Parliament stairs. I got there, I did a pretty nice wheelie in, then I did a 180 stoppie. I was on my gravel bike, so it's, like, not the best bike to be doing that on, but, you know, you got to do cool stuff on special occasions. And, yeah, I think there was about, like, 30 cameras in total all, like, facing me, and I was just, like, just looking around, like, oh, hello, hi, oh, hi, good to meet you. And it's, like, all these people, after I did my wee speech, they were, like, oh, trying to interview me. And I felt like a celebrity because I was able to say, can you just wait a moment, please? And, like, they were going, no, bro, can I interview you? Can I interview you? Just, like, after that guy, you're in the line now. And there was, like, this big line of people trying to interview me. It felt really weird.
And on the way down, you stayed with and met people who are sitting in Maori wards or campaigning for Maori wards.
Yeah, so out of all the places I stayed, some of the people were not even, like, in support of the kaupapa. They were just, like, so happy I was doing something like this. And I hope I changed their mind, honestly. But a lot of them were as well. And, yeah, it was just really cool people. And I was very grateful for them for giving me a place to stay and giving me all the stuff that they frankly, did not need to do. We reached out, and I was fine just sleeping in a tent, honestly, but it was just amazing having all these people offer me homes and that.
So you were carrying all your stuff?
Yep. I had a bit more than the bare essentials. I had food, water, clothes, first aid, charging stuff, and my Garmin and Reach. And my lights. That's kind of all you need. Oh, and I had my card and my phone. And my card is amazing. And all the cash people were, like, giving me, because those two things got me a lot of pies and a lot of Maccas, which kept me going.
What was the best thing you did?
Ooh. So, like, on the second day, there was this humongous hill. I went up to the top of it. It was a long hill to go up, but as soon as I started going down, I realized how steep it was. I was just like, oh no. So, like, fully was tucking, and I was going good, like, 70 kilometers an hour down this hill. And the good thing about having so much stuff on my bike is that I have, like, way faster rolling speed. So I was, like, hoosting it down this hill, and it was amazing. I felt like I had the wind in my hair, and I had my helmet on, of course. I had the wind going through my helmet onto my hair. I felt like I was that Harley Davidson rider going down that desert, but no, it was amazing. But my favorite part was when I was riding up to the spots where I could see Ruapehu. So it was coming out of Taumaranui, going down the road that comes past the one that goes to the ski field. Holy, that was, like, amazing. And the mountain had all this snow on it, and looked out there and I was like giggling away, and I was like telling all the cows that were next to me how good of a view they have and how lucky they are, and they don't even know it. That was another thing. I think I was going crazy on my ride because I was like arguing with cows all the way through. And I would like have chats with them because I wouldn't see a person for like the entire day on some parts. And I would like be full on having a go at some of these cows when I'd stop. Make up all these scenarios is really fun.
How close did you get to phoning home and bailing out?
Honestly, when I got lost the first time, I was like, Mom, I don't know what to do. And she's like, oh, well, you'll find your way back. And she gave me all this instructions on where to go. I was like, oh, yes. And then I was fine after that. Every other time, I just like got reminded of Rupehu and like all the other good bits. And I was like, oh, yes, I'm riding for this, not for getting lost and being upset.
Let's take the second of your music choices. Who have we got? Zach Bryan, Nine Ball. Why this one?
Oh, so this is a song, when I heard that I was going to be doing an interview on here, I was talking to my mates. I came up with, I think it was You, Somebody by Kings of Leon and Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd. But with Nine Ball Pool, it's like a really upbeat, kind of happy song. I love this song. And me and my mates like it too, so then we all decided to be the perfect song to have in the middle.
I don't want to bet, but my father wrote a check that I bet his ass could never cash. He's betting on the eight ball, landing in the sidewalk, cold-blooded killer if you ask. But every night he needs me to land himself a red three-corner pocket at 12 a.m. Only 12 years old, but I got a hold of a pool stick I was gifted from him. My father is a betting man, but I got myself a steady hand. He's sitting in the corner with a six-pack of Corona, betting that his son will win again. Bet another six pack, bet I make a comeback. Kinda lit this table's gotta lean. Won't you take me fishing? And I wanna try out for the seventh grade football team. You'll probably be nothing but this town's old drunkard and die on a smoke stained stool. But right now he's got a bargain that he's taking too far on his boy's game of nine ball pool. My father was a betting man, but I got myself a steady hand. He's sitting in the corner with a six-pack of Corona, betting that his son will win again. My father was a betting man. Got myself a steady hand. He's sitting in the corner with a six-pack of Corona, betting that his son will win again. I don't want to bet, but my daddy wrote a check that I bet his ass could never cash. He's betting on the eight ball, landing in the sidewalk, cold-blooded killer if you ask.
You're listening to Blowing Bubbles. We're talking with Jack Karatai Barrett.
Jack, you can't just get on your bike and ride to Wellington. There were a lot of decisions that were made leading up to it and around, you know, gear and planning and people and stuff. Where did you start with all of that?
Where did I start? So me and Mum went to Full Cycle Bikes Whakatane, the AKA the best shop in the world. And we went to John and Michaela, who know everything about bikes and what I'd need. And we talked to them, and they're the best. And we got all this stuff, and, like, we got this new bike. And it was just amazing for it. Like, we got this gravel bike. It's a Focus Atlas 6.7. I love it. It's, like, my favorite no-suspension bike because I snapped the frame of my really old school bike. That was my OG. But, yeah, it's, like, kind of just fell in love with the bike straight away. And I had all these things that I could ride with, and, like, all these tools and stuff that we got that were purposely fit for it. And one of the things was, Jack, you're going to get a flat tire. There's no doubting it. So we got all this flat tire puncture repair kit. I didn't get a flat tire. that's right. I know that if I didn't have all the puncture repair kits, I would have gotten about 5 flats, and that's just how it works. But at least I was prepared and ready. And we talked to John and Michaela, and then we talked to Matt Fredrickson and Lauren Hickson. Lauren works at the bike shop, and Matt's just like our best mate ever and helps me with coaching for the Foxtony mountain bike team. And they helped us with mapping, and we ended up getting it done. And it took ages because there were things we just didn't know, like what roads would be closed at the time, what the road was like even. So we had to, like, use a lot of the Te Arawa Cycleway book. That helped a lot too. I'm going to be using that when I ride the full New Zealand at some point. But, yeah.
So what do you think, if you were doing this all over again, is there anything you would do differently in your planning?
Turn on my Google Maps before I leave when I still have the Wi-Fi. That way it works when I'm lost.
That's a good plan.
Mm.
That's good. And what food did you take?
So I took, like, all these energy chews and stuff, and I took all these protein bars, and I took lots of water with electrolyte things. And pretty much every shop I'd stop through in the along the way, I'd get a pie or a banana bread cake or something, because I happened to stop by all the, like, fancy petrol stations. Those were all the ones that were along the way whenever I'd follow down a state highway. And I get all this stuff, and I just, like, get some soft jube lollies, and they're, like, amazing for riding with because they're really easy to eat. And then I have my pies, and then every once in a while when I'd see Macca's, I get Macca's. And having 4 cheeseburgers in your bike is just the most amazing thing ever. Matt Fredrickson taught me that. So basically what you do, you get 5 cheeseburgers, eat your first one, and then put the other 4 in your dry bag. On your first day of riding, you can have your first cheeseburger. On the second day, you can have your second. On the third, I reckon on the third day, you have to eat both, because after that, even though Macca's cheeseburgers can last like 20 years, I still would like want to eat 2 in a day, because, like, you never trust it too much when you're doing a ride like that.
Now that I feel very, very unwell, I'm thinking about that. Very unwell, my son.
Yeah.
How was it turning up to people's houses who you've never met and trusting that they were going to be there and look after you? How did that feel?
It's pretty easy. Like, Mum's taught me a lot of ways on how to, like, talk to people, and, like, she's always got me talking to people that I don't know. And she's like, oh, meet my son, Jack. And then I'll eat. I don't like going to the supermarket with Mum because we'll meet like 100,000 people a day. And we, like, don't even go for what we're going for originally. We're like, all right, we're going to get milk and we're going to get bread. And then since you have like 100 conversations, then all of a sudden we forget what we're getting. Then we get everything else that we don't need and have to go back again.
Yeah, and see the people again.
Yes, see the people again.
It was quite funny because when we actually made the list of towns, I realised I didn't know people in most of these towns. And so we put it out on the community pages in the towns, and also on the Tour Aotearoa, the Kennett Brothers Tour Aotearoa page, which is the biking page, and said, this is Jack. This is some information about his walk. He's going to ride to Wellington, and we need accommodation on these nights in these towns. And about 6 hours later, every place was covered. It was amazing.
It was.
And tell us about going through the Porirua Forest through the timber trail, because that was fun.
Oh my God, that was mint. Like, I would never do it on a bike with no suspension ever again. Like, I can say for sure that I had to use my brakes in a couple of places where I wouldn't on my full suspension bike, because, like, I would be bumping around and go going down all these, like, bumpy sections with roots, and I would have to, like, in some spots even, because I'm, like, a professional mountain biker and stuff, and, like, professional trails rider-ish, I would, like, have to do a stoppy and, like, do a stoppy 90-degree turn so I could, like, get over these harsh obstacles that people ride on e-bikes on the daily. But it felt, like, really harsh because I was on my bike with no suspension. Yeah, it was amazing. And I stayed at Camp Epic. It was, like, really cool there, and they gave us food for Bricky, and they gave us a place to, like, make all our food. And, yeah, it was a good night too. Didn't even get cold, which I was surprised about, because it was like a super cold night and we were staying in a glamping tent.
So Camp Epic is right in the middle of the timber trail in the Porirua Forest. You just come across this little settlement and it's just all glamping tents. And then this big sheltered area that's got cookers and fridges and a place to charge your devices because there's no coverage through there. They've got Wi-Fi in there as well.
Yep.
And somewhere to charge the e-bike if you're on an e-bike. And they gave us a spectacular deal for the boys to be able to stay there the night, which was really good.
So I was going to say the point of the trip was arriving in Wellington, but now I'm thinking, I wonder if the point of the trip was the trip itself.
Yeah. I mean, like, my original thing is getting to Wellington and doing the thing, but, like, I love the ride so much that I kind of want to do it again. At the same time, though, I all of a sudden have, like, no strength when I got back into the gym, and I was like, oh, yeah, not a big fan of that. So if I do it again, I'll just, like, get some free trials and some gyms along the way so I don't, like, come back and be like, these weights don't move anymore.
Have you slept for a week?
Nothing really changed. Like, my body just stayed all the same. I was barely even sore. Like, definitely my bum was sore in a couple of days. But on my last day, I didn't even have my monkey pants on or my bike pants with the cushions.
They call them monkey pants that make you look like those baboons with the red bums. That's what he looks like when he's wearing the monkey. So I just call them monkey pants. It's our habit. He means bike pants.
I didn't have my monkey pants on, and I was just like wearing stubbies for the whole day, and it was actually fine. And then coming home, I didn't even fall asleep on the drive home. Like, I tried to on the last like 20 minutes, but it was pretty hard to. But yeah, I got home and like my sleep schedule stayed the same. I'm not really even tired at the moment. I still have all my energy. I'm like fitter and my legs are definitely stronger.
We got home on Thursday and he still went to work at the cafe on Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, so let's talk about arriving in Wellington.
Mm-mm.
How did you get into Wellington itself? Is there, you came in, you didn't go over the, you did.
Yeah, I went over the day you meet suckers.
Over the main road? Or through the bike? There's a bike trail, is it?
There's a big bike trail. And it's fairly steep, but, like, the best part about it is it's, like, fairly steep uphill and it gets you up pretty fast. And then you have a downhill that's, like, so nice. It's, like, not flat, but it's downhill in the way of you don't even need to pedal, but you can slowly just keep your speed without, like, losing speed, you know?
It's the rail trail. So it goes across.
Right.
It's the deepest rail trail in Aotearoa.
So did you do that on the day you arrived in Wellington or the day before?
Day before.
So you didn't arrive at Parliament knackered?
No, it was only like a 40K on my Parliament day. So that was like easy peasy lemon squeezy. But definitely I had some hearty-ass helmet here. Holy, like my hair was fully flat and that annoyed me a bit. But yeah.
So the plan was to deliver something to Christopher Luxon.
Yes. Christopher Luxon is scared of rangatahi that want to make change, and he's also scared of democracy. So he didn't want to show up. He actually declined to see me. And guess who showed up? Chris Hipkins. Guess who was amazingly happy about that? Jack Cuddy Ty Barrett.
Why do you think he's scared?
Oh, he's just scared of good change. Like, I kind of think he's sort of like Trump in the way of he just doesn't make any good decisions that I support, you know? And it's like he doesn't like moldy people.
You're also getting pretty tall.
Oh, yeah. I'm tall all of a sudden. I'm like 5'10 compared to last time I saw you when I was like 4'11.
And Christopher Luxon's my height.
Oh, yeah. He's 5'1. Oh, no. He's like 4'11. So, like, I would just like walk up to him and be like, hey, buddy, put my arms on his shoulder. Hey, little man.
So, what did Chris Hipkins say?
Oh, Chris Hipkins. Me and him just like got along like a house on fire. We had a great chat. And we just started talking, and then people were like, oh, Jack, you kind of have to go up now. And I'm like, oh, I'm talking to Chris.
What did he say about the importance of your ride?
He said a lot of great things. I loved his speech. Like, he did a great job on that. And he supported me, like, all the way through, and he was even, like, wanting to ride part of it with me. But then another thing I want to bring up is how blimmin' amazing my mum's speech was. Mum hates speeches, like, hates public speaking. But she got up after someone told her to, and she just smashed it out of the park. Even if she was, like, starting to rant about how much she dislikes certain things, it's all right, because it was amazing and beautiful. Best speech I've ever seen in my life. Top screw to Thunberg any day.
Was that speech written, or was it from the heart?
It was from the heart. High five.
So, let's do two things here, because it might be different. What's your message for general people in New Zealand?
Vote yes to Māori wards.
Please.
Please.
Use your manners.
Pretty please with a cherry on top.
Because a wacky, crazy guy cycled almost the length of the North Island.
Yeah. So I guess it's like the reason you should. And I did it just like, you know, I just felt like going out and doing something big, and yeah, that's the reason you should.
Do you have a message for other young people, other young leaders?
Please, pretty please with the cherry on top, tell your parents about Yes to Māori Wards. And my other thing specifically aimed at rangatahi is go do cool stuff while you're young, because your old body won't be able to handle it.
You'll be able to handle it for a while.
Yeah.
I'd love to see you try and outswim Sam.
Oh, easy peasy.
I don't think so. Not many people can outswim Sam.
I can outbike him.
Jack got an amazing card delivered to his school today from Mia Muko from the top of the North Island. The Far North District Council sent this beautiful handwritten card to Jack, and he talked about Fina Cooper and her hikoi, and about what she said about listen to our children. And I just thought, whoa, that was powerful. That moment actually gave me tears in my eyes thinking about that. And she's exactly right. When our kids are saying what it is that they want their future to look like, we actually have to start listening, because for way too long we've not been listening. When we've said, please do something about the way you're living so that climate change can be contained. If we can stop that temperature increase, that will make our future better. But we didn't do that, and that ship has sailed. And all the decisions that are being made by government at the moment, same thing. Our kids are saying, actually, we don't want that, and yet they're still happening, and it's not okay.
Is it still a hikoi if it's on a bike?
Yeah.
I think I'll say this to that. So I think the reason that they're getting away with doing that is because they know they won't be around to have to deal with the shivers that we will have to go through.
It must be pretty mind-blowing, at least it is to me, to be mentioned your hikoi in the same breath as Fina Cooper.
Yeah, I want to like do similar to that as well. Like, imagine if I've got about like 100,000 people to walk across New Zealand. That would be like pretty cool.
Well, that's what Fina Cooper did. She took all those people on that hikoi to Wellington.
Yeah, we could do it again. Let's go bigger this time.
I was going to say, what's next?
Oh, so I think I'm going to ride the full New Zealand. So that'll be like in the summer holidays. That's just like a wee bike ride. I'll find a reason to do that because the Māori Woods will already have been done by then. And yeah.
And that's called Tour Aotearoa from Cape Reinga to Bluff.
Yep.
Awesome. And then apparently I'm driving down to Bluff to pick him up.
You came up with that idea. I was going to ride home.
Oh, yeah, you can ride home. How are you going to bring the Pounamu home?
I'll just put it on my bag, even if it weighs like 20 kg.
Okay, I have some questions to end the show. You've had these before, but I'm going to do it anyway. What is the biggest success you've had in the last couple of years?
So I have to say, I don't know if anyone knows about this. I don't think I've ever told anyone. Probably my bike to Wellington that I did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Did you know about it?
When was that?
It's like a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Oh, wow. Why'd you do that?
Oh, don't know. Just felt like it.
Wow. You should have like attached it to some big cause.
Yeah, like the Māori Wards, maybe.
Māori Wards, that would be a good one. Do you think you could tell people about it and get some publicity?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Better do that next time.
Yeah, okay, let's do that. What's your superpower?
My superpower? Being able to... I think my superpower is being able to change people's opinions and being able to make good things happen and make change for the better.
That's a pretty great superpower, son.
Is there an earthquake?
No.
Yeah. You talked about doing wacky and crazy stuff to get people's attentions, but changing opinions is more than that. You also have to be able to talk about it and engage them.
Yeah, so I've got a key strategy that I use for all my things. When I'm trying to change someone's mind or like cheer them up or anything, I just use my terrible humour that I have. So basically, I've got it from Mum. Me and Mum have the most terrible, dark, random, weird humour on earth, and we both use it at all the wrong times, and it always seems to work. Even if it's just us laughing.
So what motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
Not my alarms that have... which I've learnt as of late. What does motivate me? Making change does. Yeah. Making change and not having a mad mum because I'm going to be late for school.
So if you could wave a magic wand and have a miracle occur, what would you have happen?
Get Labour in government for the next 50 years. And with that would automatically mean the Māori Wards are just a normal thing.
I normally follow up that question with, what's the smallest thing that you could do to make that happen? But maybe you've just done something that's not the smallest thing.
Oh, that's the smallest out of my list. That's the smallest out of my list. I had a lot of big things, but I was told not to go too big on them.
What else did you have on your list?
So basically I was going to make like 100 clones of myself, and there was going to be a Jack army, and I'd have like this big group of Jacks, and we'd go around and I'd send one of me to like all the countries that need something changed, and we'd all like change something. And I'd just sit here like on couch and, oh no, not sit here. I'd sit on a couch in like Hawaii with Mum, and I'd buy her a house with a swimming pool, because that's what I said I'd do when I was like 5 years old.
If all those Jacks turned up to do something, it would definitely be a hijack.
Hope there's no planes around.
So do you have any advice for our listeners?
Don't be scared to do stuff. Don't be scared to go out and have fun. Take good risks, not risks like you do when you're on your bike, which I've learnt the hard way, but risks as in making change and making difference in the world. Be like Greta Thunberg, be like Dame Fina Cooper, be like me. Oh, I just had to get myself into that one. But yeah, just go like do cool stuff.
Like Tummy.
Yeah.
Be like Jack. Moira.
Well, Jack, I am a tiny bit biased given the fact that I gave birth to you and have raised you up. But even if I set myself aside from all of that, I stand amazed and in awe of the adult that you're growing up to be. And while people keep affording me credit for this, I keep saying, actually, no, because our kids are who they are, and you are who you are, and who you are is remarkable. And I'm very proud of you, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks.
And for my life.
Yeah.
Okay, we are going out to Kings of Leon. You said any of them, but I think you meant Use Somebody.
Use Somebody is the right song. Yep, that's the one I was thinking. Sex on Fire is pretty good too.
Yes, but you're only 15.
No fire.
Only sex.
Safe spaces around the world. Brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, who are brought to you by Otago Polytechnic. We are broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz with Mavira Caratai. Our guest today was Jack Caratai Barrett. Oh, that was Blowing Bubbles. I'm Samuel Mann. We hope you enjoyed the show.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.